Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
I love me that Dumpty Dum, folks. But if I'm saying that, it must be Dumpty Dum. So this is Dumpty Dum, the show with the reality ducky drama that is centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I am the international hobo who is Royfield Brown. And today I'm joined by...
And not at all ready to party, Jacqueline Berthaud in St. Gwen.
Yay! This week's Dumpty Dum is from R. Marie Bray, and she sent me in another one. On this week's episode, we are lucky enough to hear from Pepe Mason, Julia, Claire Asprey, Panto Martin, Witherspoon, Glyn Fullerlove, and Dusty Summonses. Plus, folks, do not forget, towards the tail end of the show, we have Tweet of the Week from Purple Pumpkin, and we have our social media roundup from Sue. Whew. And we'll be welcoming our new members to our Facebook group. It's a fun packed, well, I don't know about fun. Jacqueline, can we actually say it's going to be fun? Or is it just information packed? Caller in or a packed?
I think we've got so many caller inners, it's just going to be their thoughts and our thoughts on their thoughts. Packed.
Our thoughts on their thoughts. And then the listeners can listen and think and cogitate about our thoughts on their thoughts as well. And then possibly commit their thoughts about our thoughts on the listeners' thoughts to an email in next week.
Perfect. It would work really, really well. We are the People's Cup podcast.
Aren't we just? But for... Ooh, crumbs, that bit's in red.
But first, let's look at the week in Ambridge from our Sue, the Queen or Tart.
Hello, lovely people. It's Sue, Queen or Tart, with another week in Ambridge. Well, what really stood out this week for me is that Linda Snell, MBE, as she is listed in the cast list, to my great delight, holds a grudge for Britain. She could be a gold medalist at the Grudge Olympics, to be honest. Argyll seems to be saying all the right things and wanting to involve the village. So clearly, he's a wrong'un, or he's working for a wrong'un. Who knows? Robert disagreed with Linda, not unreasonably, but Linda will not be swayed. What a cheek, asking her opinion. Usha is back to talk some sense to Chris, so it's bizarre. It's really bizarre when anybody in the Archers talks any level of sense. But what we get from that is he needs to communicate with Alice. And on Monday, it was all about communicating with Alice. He turned up early without asking to take Martha so she could go to his sister's. Oh, I was flipping furious. I shouted at the radio. That is not appropriate communication, you utter twonk. So Martha fell off the slide or got shoved off by Xander or something. I do wonder how she got to A&E. Did they have to wait several hours for an ambulance or did they just put her in the car? Anyway, shouting at A&E, Chris, is not the answer. It just gets you a visit from social workers. You know who you should have been talking to all along? Why did they disappear? Oh, Steph. She cleaned Beth's kitchen for something to do and then wanted enormous praise, a bit like a small child who put their toys back in their toy box. I know I've said before that physical violence is not the answer, but I would be prepared to make a couple of exceptions. And I also know I'm skipping ahead, but I really have to say the party sounds vile. I hope David chucks the stripper off the premises. Imagine our lovely Jill having to chuck a flapjack at them. And confetti willies will be turning up all over the farm for the next 10 years or so. But it all got a bit better when Argyll made a new friend. Kirsty, she has clearly sparked his interest. In the rewilding, obviously. I think I'd be a bit miffed if I was Kirsty, being compared to his granny. But she is raising the profile of the site and showing more visitors around, especially with their two separate trips. I would like to know what Neil has been doing to raise his obsession levels over Alice's drinking. There does not appear to be any evidence that she is, but he just wants to keep banging away at that drum. Chris says he's going to be honest with the social worker, so he should have been doing that from the beginning, lad. He's not even vaguely relaxed. He did have a bit of a blob, and the social worker had a biscuit. Neil shoved the door in, saying Chris deserves the Father of the Year award, especially on his birthday. You should have had cake, not just biscuits, on your birthday. You know, I just want to remind us that if Chris hadn't said he wanted to make all the decisions about Martha, we would not be in this position now. And his whole life wouldn't depend on what Alice says to the social worker. He did say a lot of nice things about Alice. Thursday came along and Alice said a lot of nice things about Chris to the social worker. Reminds me why they're getting divorced. And I really am not sure. Sam, the social worker, will not be bribed with biscuits. And I think what we can get from all of this is that Chris and Alice need to behave like adults and share the childcare, bring in the village to raise a child. And it sounds like Alice is prepared to do that. I just hope they continue to show this much sense, but past performance is not indicative of future results. Linda's retired, so I don't understand why she's running the fake committee. Oh, it makes my head hurt. Nobody knows a celebrity until one is found. There will be wringing of hands. Can somebody volunteer, please, and put us all out of their misery? Still, sounds like we're going to get a punch-up with the WI over the pizza van. Yay, some good drama. I want to be clear, I have never eaten so much pizza that I couldn't manage a bit of Victoria sponge, so I think it'll all be fine. Let's see what next week brings.
Proper made me chuckle. Did that this week. What's the most important thing that you take away from last week? So I'll tell you the most important thing that I take away from last week's goings on. What biscuits do you need to have to bribe a social worker? You know, how big do you go on the biscuit front? Now, you infamously don't like sweet things, so you're going to fail, aren't you, basically?
I am, but because my children who live in England don't never know what to send us via Amazon for Christmas things and stuff like that, we quite often get Scottish shortbread or Harrod's Scottish shortbread once in a fancy box. So shortbread, it has to be really good butter Scottish shortbread.
So if your access to your kids is on the line, the social worker kicks off your front door, is literally ready to yank one of your kids away, you're going to say, stop, here's some Harrods shortbread. All right, then. Now we've sorted out the most important thing in Ambry, as far as we're concerned this week. Why don't we have some caller innerers?
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
First off, it's one of our OGs. It's Claire from Clapham.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. And I was just wanting to reflect on Chris and Alice, like I'm sure many people this week. First of all, I'm pleased to hear Chris being able to open up about how he's feeling to someone like one-on-one outside of the kind of family and everything. I think he's managed to get some grief out this week, which is good. And it was nice to hear them both give good account of each other. So I do predict that they will get back together at some point. And actually it might do them some good because it'll make them work through some of the difficult stuff and really talk about things. So hopefully that would be nice. But also I was really pleased to hear the return of normal, sensible Neil, who literally turned on a dime within about 10 minutes. From the beginning of the week when he was still just, I don't know, poking, making trouble, stirring the pot, asking Chris if he still had doubts about her drinking. I was just really not helping. Not the kind of behaviour I expect from Neil. Neil's got very uncharacteristic recently about all this. And then when Chris said, oh, no, I said nice things about Alice, he immediately said, oh, well done, son. That's the right thing to do. You be true. I was like, yes, that's the Neil that I know and love. That's the Neil I can rely on to be sensible and diplomatic and cautious and try and work a good solution out. This vindictive Neil has not been very, popular with me, if I'm honest. So I'm hoping we've got sensible Neil back for good now. And we can just draw a line under the last couple of weeks with him just being difficult about Chris and Alex. I understand he's protective, but that's not quite the same. He went beyond that. So hooray. Let's have Neil back and let's see Chris and Alice together. Keep up the good work. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Right then. I know you love a little bit of Neil Carter, so I'm going to redraw myself from any comments. Over to you, Jacqueline Berto.
Well, I completely and utterly agree with Claire. When I heard her call, I thought, yes, that's exactly how I feel about Neil. I've been very distressed by his reactions recently. And then he did kind of start to soften up and go back to old Neil. But I think we've got another call about that talks about Neil and the situation he's in and his changing character. So maybe we ought to listen to that before we really discuss it.
Crumbs, look at you taking editorial decisions on the caller in the
sorry.
Order.
Let's go to Glyn Quillan's call.
Crumbs, this is a first.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here. Recording this on a Thursday evening, it's always a bit of a risk because you never know whether the Friday episode is going to make your thoughts appear a little off beam, but I want to talk about Neil. And it's clear that quite a few Archers listeners think that Neil has had a personality transplant recently, or he's acting out of character in the way he's dealing with Chris. And I sort of, I'd like to pose the question, who amongst us hasn't had a friend or a relative who we think has acted unexpectedly or out of character in a situation which has been causing them stress or is unusual for them? And Neil is in a position where his job is uncertain, and that's related, or at least until recently, to the Aldridge family. And his family life is challenged, and that's also related to the Aldridge family. So I think he may well, in his own mind, be feeling besieged by the Aldridge family. And this is driving his attitude towards Chris and Alice and the divorce at the moment. And it may appear out of character, but it is just how Neil is reacting to this situation, and perhaps we shouldn't be surprised. Anyway, keep safe, everybody. Have a great week. Thank you for the podcast and speak again soon.
Right then. Can I say, let's do some rinse and repeat. Jacqueline Berto, you're a big fan of Neil Carter. I'm going to withdraw myself. So in the fullness of your vocabulary and with your eloquence, you can respond to not only Glyn, but also to Claire with their Neil Carter thoughts.
Yeah, well, in fact, I'm with Claire with thinking how Neil was working for the last few weeks. I was a bit irritated by the writing because he's not the only character who seems to have done a bit of a character change. So I was distressed by him, and I did find by the end of this week that I was actually liking him again a bit more, because I do love Neil. He's always been the one that my comfort person that I've really always liked everything about him apart from his wife. And am I allowed to say that? She's irritating me, but in fact, she's very good as well. I like her.
It's a little bit of jealousy.
Yeah, of course. But what Glyn said made me stop and think. Yeah, he's right, because nobody acts the same as they normally do when they're in a very stressful situation. And he has it coming at him from both sides. He's there trying to protect, hold on to his job, trying to protect Hannah and Jazza. So that's stressful. Then he's being you said a few weeks ago, you took me up on that, because you said that he was being a protective daddy, which he is. And who wouldn't be? You're quite right. You know, you want to think the best of your own children. You want to help them as much as you can. So, yeah, so I agree with both of those calls, and I think that we will see a better side of Neil coming back again more and more in the future. But he's got to get over the shock of their being reconciled. By Friday, we knew we could see that they were being reconciled a bit towards each other and going to work together for Martha. So I think Neil will take a little bit of persuading, let alone Brian. That could be a whole program about what Brian's reaction is going to be. But yeah, so I liked both those calls. I agree with them both fully.
I've always thought that Alice and Chris were never going to get divorced. When I was still doing the show, I said as much before last year. I said that they're going to work it out, and so see that coming. This just reminds me of so many couples that embark on divorce, and then the whole thing just takes on a momentum of its own. It's like a runaway train. And there are many points when they've had the opportunity to pull things back. You realize that 90% of the reasons why you ended up with that person are still actually valid. And an incident might have happened, and it might have been really troublesome and hard for both to get over. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the end. But you mention the D word and you start solicitors talking, and then all of a sudden it's literally impossible to claw that back, because other people then have a vested interest in your marriage dissolving. So I hope, you know, the old romantic in me, who wants everyone just to live for happily ever after and, you know, sunshine, rainbows and unicorns, I hope that they're going to be able to sort this out, because it's a good lesson for all of us. Fundamentally, they're good people and they both love their daughter. So for the sake of their daughter, but also for the sake of the relationship which they've had, you know, let's hope they can have some kind of resolution, which we all know makes sense, which actually they're better actually together. The other thing I'd say about Neil, and yes, I did say a couple of weeks ago, is that not only is Neil being a protective father, how many times did Chris say this week, he's just so stressed, he can't remember not being stressed, he's so depressed? As a parent, you are going to metaphorically and physically put your arms around your child to defend them from all comers. You just are. And especially when you know, at least you feel that your son, in a very simplistic way, was the main caregiver whilst Alice was suffering from the ravages of her illness. Just viewed that way, you're going to go, grr, Aldridge's, you are the worst. And everybody can be pushed and displaying love and our protection for our loved ones. That's a situation which we are going to act in atypical ways.
It is. And in fact, the only thing that slightly worried me, put me on edge a bit, is the fact that when Alice talked with the social worker, she said, oh, yeah, he's a great dad. You know, he would die for her. And we've heard about his stress and how stressed he is. He works at a job, which is actually very dangerous. And I just suddenly had that thing flashing before my eyes that he was going to be so stressed out that he's going to make a mistake at work and end up with a horse's hoof in his head. So anyway, I'll stop waffling.
You know, no, that wasn't waffle. Because considering that we know in hindsight, when an incident happens, then we can go back through the entrails, so to speak, and we can see the little cues and clues which are put there. I hope you're wrong with that, but that's actually not a bad shout at all.
Oh, Royfield, I'm honoured. Well, I hope it doesn't happen as well. You know, it's the last thing in the world we want, for poor Martha especially.
So are we done with Neil Carter? Any of the other caller-inners mention him? You want to disrupt my editorial flow, make an executive decision all the way from France? You know what?
No.
This is the reason why we had Brexit. So that
don't talk about Brexit.
You people in Europe are not telling us people in Britain what to do.
I'll tell you what, Brexit has upset my postman this week because I ordered something from a fabulous fabric company, an enormous amount of fabric for some dresses I'm making for a wedding in September. Mm-hmm. And the postman rang very apologetically and said, I can't give this parcel till you pay me €32 in ink tax. I'll tell you what. All I could think was, oh, fuck me, fuck Brexit. You'll have to bleep that or cut it completely. He was very distressed because he brings me a lot of parcels of fabric and things. This is the first time something's ever happened like that. So I've been very lucky so far. But it was very distressing.
I tell you what, Jacqueline, if you ever meet my mum, I'll allow you to shake your fist and, in her direction, ask her for €32.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'm seeing my parents in September. I'm going to be demanding more than €32 from them. Yeah, these old people. What can we do with them?
I know. Well, listen, I don't know whether Julia voted to remain or to leave, but what I do know is that she's coming up next.
Hi, Team Dumpty Dum. This is Julia calling from Manchester. Just a quick one from me. I guess I'm what you would call a slightly younger listener to The Archers, depending on the demographic. I'm 28 and I've been listening for 10 years. And I just wanted to quickly talk about Steph and Beth, because they feel to me as a sort of stereotypical, sort of hyper, I don't even know the word, sort of hyper stereotypical, basically, characters of what I think the media would perceive as young people. And I just think if you want to attract a younger demographic to The Archers, if you want people to keep on listening for years and years to come, we need some characters that aren't just what people perceive Gen Z and millennials to be in the media, like with Rory being a sugar baby and all of this. It just feels so stereotypical, and I wish we had more well-rounded millennial and Gen Z characters. Obviously, this is a blanket statement, and we do see some slight exceptions to the rules, but I would really love to see a well-rounded, sensible, I guess, younger character on The Archers. Exception to the rule, I guess, would probably be like Phoebe or someone. But yeah, I'd love to know your thoughts on it and why you think the scriptwriters seem to go for this. Hope this isn't too controversial opinion, and I hope you had a lovely week. Loving the podcast as usual. See you later.
Well, I had an awesome week. I don't know about you, Mrs. Berto, but mine was tip top.
Jolly good. Mine was absolutely the worst week I've had for over a year.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I know.
You know this. You know, one of the MOs of this podcast is to uplift people's spirits.
I know. So, I'm really sorry.
I'm not saying you can't tell us about your bad week, but is there anything positive? Was there a silver lining to your week? So you can tell us about it,
yeah.
But maybe there's some philosophical upside. Okay, tell us about your week.
So on Friday morning, I was walking the dogs, listening to Thursday night's Archers, and I had a message to say that our mare had died in the night.
Oh, no.
I know. And he was an amazing Breton musician with a big, big personality who led us all by the nose we're devastated. And I'd only been to see him on Wednesday evening and spent half an hour with him. He was very morphined and very poorly, had cancer. Just under a year ago, he was elected and he was in very good health. So that's been a very sad thing. And so, you know, that's put a downer on my week. But yesterday evening, we have little chapels around and you have what's called a pardon. So it's a little ceremony with a priest who blesses everybody, throws water at them. And then there's all a lot of singing and it's all like a little mass. Do we call it a mass? Mess or a mass in English? I don't know. Mass. So I went with my daughter and her boyfriend, and it's out in a chapel that's in the middle of a ploughed field, basically. Well, it's not ploughed field. It's full of ripening corn, ripening wheat. And we cycled there in through the evening sunshine. And, you know, despite the fact that I felt like crap because of Hervé dying, it was just beautiful. So there you go. So there are bad things and good things. You have to find the silver linings, don't you?
You do. You do indeed. You do indeed.
You can cut all that out.
No. But you know, the other thing to say about your mayor that passed on, it's a testament to his life, the effect it actually had on everybody, and somebody who has taken on such civic responsibility and tried to battle through what whilst they were ill. So it says a lot about him and a lot about his vision and his good works. And he said, you know, he led everybody by the nose. I know he's going to say a Gallic nose, but obviously he was quite the character.
And he really is somebody I could only admire, because he had a vision that was so crazy sometimes, but he wanted to see everything through. This is a bit what the amazing thing about his illness has been. He's been dying very quickly of cancer. And he invited the whole member of his majority group, all of us, with our partners, to his house for a meal. And he was in his wheelchair and spoke for about 5 minutes and said to him, "Don't you lot damn well forget you're going to move this forward. We're going to get this done. Do it in my vision." God, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And God, do you know, it's been so emotional, and he's somebody's made his mark. So, you know, I have to acknowledge that it's just been a fantastic person to have known. I'm so grateful to have known him.
Wow, what a tribute. Thank you for that. Thank you. Julius mentioned young folk.
Indeed.
I think this is representation, depictions of different types of people. You only get true authenticity when in the writer's room there are people who have lived that experience or are living that experience. Just before we started recording this, I was noodling on YouTube, as you do, and I saw this YouTube video on The Simpsons. And I don't really watch The Simpsons, but it says 10 Simpson characters who have left and will probably never return. Number one was Apu. I don't know if you know The Simpsons at all, but Apu is the Indian, or let's say South Asian, shopkeeper. And one of the reasons why Apu is probably not going to come back is because he's actually voiced by a white actor. And about 4 years ago, I forget the name of the South Asian American actor, but he wrote a book basically saying it's wrong, and how the depiction of Apu is stereotypical. So they basically kind of really stopped having Apu on the show because it obviously hit home with the writers. And I think it's hard for, let's say, an established writers team who are, let's say, well, Kerry Davis is going to be in his mid to slightly late 50s now. And I'm guessing they're all in their maybe late 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe 60s, to truly be authentic when it comes to writing the experience of an 18, 19, 20-year-old. But, you know, they were that age once. And I think it's actually a fair point, because that Julie makes, because we do know that one of the tasks of writers of the Archers is always to introduce the show to the next generation, because otherwise all the listeners would quite simply die off. So you've got to have younger actors. They've got to have some level of resonance with the listeners, but also they've got to be able to pull in new, younger listeners, haven't they?
They do. I mean, we often have heard from when people started listening. How many times do we have caller-inners that say that they started listening when they were at university? And it's those people that we should be hoping to draw in. And I don't think the Steffs are necessarily going to do that. But this is a phenomenon that didn't exist when we were young. So when I was young, maybe not even when you were young, an influencer type of persons. But I agree with you entirely that they've got to get down there with it, with the young people.
Yeah, you know, it's a perpetual issue. And it's an issue which the BBC are really conscious of. If you think of BBC Radio 1 and BBC Radio 2, periodically they get rid of the old DJs on BBC Radio 1 because they say they're not for the correct demographic. They've aged too much. And the playlist changes, and then those DJs literally then graduate on. Some of them graduate onto Radio 2. I remember listening to Radio 2 as a kid, and there was Val Dunican on it, and it was dreadful, right? And I've always been anti Radio 2 because of my childhood prejudice. The other day, there's some Fat Boy Slim on the radio, and there's something else. I said, what station is this? It was Radio 2. I'm like, I have that demographic now. I've aged into it, and they've snared me. And I'm like, what? They can play Fat Boy Slim on Radio 2. For me, it's still Val Dunican, but there you go.
I quite like Saturday Morning with Tony Blackburn now on Radio 2. Sound of the 60s. That's me in my shower singing.
Doing a bit of an Adele, singing in the shower.
But I was just thinking, you might be able to use that as a link onto the next call.
Oh, look at you.
Segue. My God, I'm going to it, aren't I?
you have. Look at you. Are you similarly blessed as Adele? Because, you know.
Because, yeah.
I don't know where your mucky mind's gone with this. What I meant was, he's got good pipes. He can really sing.
Yeah, it does sound like it, doesn't it? And it sounds like he could win Linda Round with that singing if she gives him a chance, but we'll have to wait and see. Everybody else sings it. If Robert says he sings well, he does.
Absolutely.
I do
Absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely.
But I like singing, but I'm not any good at it.
Oh, just before we go, Julia, what we need you to do is when you spot any more inconsistencies in the next few weeks, you need to call in again, right? And also, when you call in again, tell us how and why you got into The Archers 10 years ago, because I'd love to know. Anyway, so that's that. That's Julia and all of that malarkey. Now it's Pepe.
Hello, this is Pepe in southwest France. I live in a small village which has many characteristics like The Archers, and we enjoy our little support for each other, and also sometimes little differences. I wanted to call in to say a petit prediction for perhaps the Adele coming good with Linda obtaining a star for the village fete, thinking that he might produce a billionaire from Dragon's Den, or one of the Barclay brothers, perhaps he represents, and the starring in the recent court cases. Or maybe a politician from his connections with an Asian community like Rishi Sunak or Priti Patel. Maybe even he knows somebody like Boris Johnson, and we can have the controversy of a politician appearing at a village fete and the division around the point of view. No, too much to hope. I hope you have a good time over there in England over the summer, and goodbye.
Bonjour, Pepe. Nice to hear from a fellow Brit living in France.
Mm-hmm. So what do you reckon to the meat and potatoes what Pepe had to say?
Adele, Linda, they'll work it out in the end. I don't quite understand. She's not impressing me at the moment, and I don't understand why she's so invested in him being a bad man. So there we go.
Which must be incredibly uncomfortable. Not only does she not like him, but he's in her house. Like, poor Adil. Right, you know.
Nightmare.
Yeah. And this woman is being totally irrational. He didn't buy the place. He is just kind of doing his job. And as Adam said this week, you know, the place has been losing lots of money. So...
Yeah, but who's bought it? Who's the 60% owner? Why don't we know? Why doesn't anybody ask him out loud when he's wittering on about stuff? Ugh.
I want it to
be Matt.
There has to be a big reveal, doesn't there? If it is Matt, wouldn't that be fantastic?
Would be fantastic. And just see that Hello Pussycat coming in. Our tiger, yeah. But they have a tendency to do this to us. Big reveal, big something's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And then it's a bit of a damp squid. Squib.
But you know what? You are correct, because when the Aldridges left and, you know, they rip out the kitchen and the Jennifer's kitchen. So we're like, who is moving in? Nobody. Yeah. Nobody was the answer.
They had a party and that was it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Who is the 60% owner then if you're just the manager?
Are we 100% sure that he's never been asked? In my head, I could be completely and utterly wrong here. It's one of those moments where you need Cosmo. I think he has been asked, but he said he wasn't at liberty to say. But I could be wrong. I really could be wrong.
Yeah, but when did he mean asked once ever stop anybody in a village from asking him every other day?
On the script, it says two calls in. So let's scratch that and put three calls in. The best and easiest way for you to record a message or a plot prediction is to go to speakpipe.com/dumtdum. Don't forget the T in the middle. And you'll also find a link there in our show notes as well.
Don't forget, we need your calls in by 6 p.m. on a Sunday UK time. Please keep your call to a maximum of 2 minutes and bear in mind that you need to be at least 18 to take part.
Now, if you could help us out, that'd be awesome. Three things. First off, if you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe on whatever podcast you're listening to this podcast on. That'd be most awesome. And then if you could nip over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review, just give us a review. Hit, just be honest. Be honest. Be hugely appreciated, though 5 stars would be most awesome. And the last and final thing that you could do is consider becoming a Patreon. Patreon is a way of tipping creators, and there are different levels of different rewards. If you'd like to throw a little bit of your hard-earned money, and we know times are hard at the moment, so we really do appreciate it, go to patreon.com, which is patreon.com, and search for Dumpty Dum. It does mean that when we restart the Friday Zooms, you will get a ringside seat for those, because you are part of our inner sanctum, so to speak. Before we go back to our calls, don't forget you can also send us an email if you don't fancy hearing your voice by simply going on to dumdydum.com and hitting contact us. But now let's go back to the calls. This person who's coming up next is most definitely not a first-time caller in. I'm guessing it's his 4th or 5th time. It's Panto Martin.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Panto Martin here again from Sheffield. Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. So, another week goes by. It was really great to hear Neil go back to being decent again, and to hear that Chris and Alice have some respect for each other. However, Chris and Amy being brought up again, how well-suited as they both are. They're pretty boring. In fact, you said it yourself, Chris, and nobody would argue with you. If I cast you in a panto, you would be the back end of a horse. Beth and Steph are an interesting pair. Some of it explains Beth's strong views on fidelity, but one wonders if they would be that different. Poor old Ben, stuck in the middle of it all. What do you say about someone's sister when you're in a new relationship? Oh, and then we have Ardil and Kirsty. They look to be heading for a relationship of some sort. She does have a tendency for going for the villains, so who knows where it will lead. But still no Joy, though. Please bring her back. Please get Lee to dig her up from the patio. That's all from me. Have a week that is as fabulous as you are, everyone.
Ah, Madame Berto, Panto Martin had some astute observations. Where do you sit with them?
I agree. Ben and Steph and Ben, Steph, and
Beth.
Beth. Oh, yes, Ben, Steph, and Beth.
Yeah, I know, it's the whole Beth and Steph thing.
Yeah, it gets me confused every time. Plus, Bess the dog. Well, I agree. It's a very funny relationship. It's Ben stuck in the middle. In fact, I think going back to Julia's call earlier on, Ben is a good young person because he's trying out for a career in nursing and he seems quite stable. So he's a good characterization of him. But Ben, Steph and Beth obviously have history as sisters. So you get to that age and you do have history as sisters. Beth is looking out for Steph and she's worrying about Steph. So, nice sister.
Absolutely. And she's worrying about her with reason because your marriage lasted how long? 15
yeah,
minutes.
Not long.
Right. And then she totally lies about the reason why the whole marriage fell apart.
Yeah.
And then the next minute, she's having a massive rave up.
That is weird. I can't get that at all. Yeah. I'm with David, but I think Ruth's looking forward to that party myself.
I think Ruth is just counting the money, really. Ruth is just saying, we've got a booking, let's just take the money. The whole thing's crazy. I said it a few weeks ago. I don't understand it. I don't really believe that the whole thing, but I appreciate I'm now getting slightly long in the tooth. And I'm 53 and I listen to Radio 2 accidentally. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I feel like we ought to get another presenter on here that's about half our age, or at least half my age. That's what we should do, bring in a younger person every so often to set us straight on what it's all about, influencing.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this podcast, then what are we going to say, under 30?
Definitely.
Right, if you're under 30.
So you've got to be over 18, but under 30.
There is a podcasting host seat available for you. Please email us and let us know that you qualify as being a younger person and you can talk to us about influencers and what else are
or
young
not.
People into?
I bet maybe a lot of young people don't know anything about influencers. Maybe it's all made up
true.
In Kerry Davis's mind.
True.
Or some other writer's mind, sorry.
Put us straight if you are between the ages of 18 and 30. Come on to the show and tell us old fogies what's going on. But thank you for that, Panto. Did Panto Martin mention anything else? I can't remember.
Yeah, he did. He mentioned Adil and Kirsty, and it's very sweet.
The one thing I'll say about Adil and Kirsty, on paper, decent match, but it seems to me that whenever there's a stray bloke in the village, they end up with Kirsty. And my Kirsty deserves a little bit more than just any old random bloke who just happens to wander into the village. Now, that's why she ended up with the last wrong'un, basically. Now,
yeah,
she
and he's going to turn out to be an axe murderer. Bantu, she has no luck with men.
She doesn't, does she?
No,
she absolutely
poor Kirsty.
Doesn't.
Oh God, so sorry for her. I feel pity for Kirsty, but I quite like Adil. You see,
isn't he just a bit bland?
Yeah, maybe he's a bit wooden in his presentation, in his acting, which I hate to criticize the actors. Oh dear.
What I would say, he has a slightly peculiar way of speaking, but I'll personally say no more on it than that. And I just think if you've been through half the things that Kirsty has been through, you would not be in Ambridge. You wouldn't even go within a 100-mile radius of the village. But anyway.
I don't understand why she's still there, personally.
Yeah,
but
makes utterly no sense. But anyway, I'll tell you who does make sense, Dusty Substances.
Hello, it's Dusty Substances here, the wrong sort of listener. Apologies if you hear any banging in the background, but I've got the builders in. Oh, that sounds bad. They're doing the pointing. anyway, moving on. We had the revelation that Natasha's twins are going to be one of each. And I think this is a real cop-out because I've been having a think about the boy-girl ratios of the offspring in Ambridge. Helen has two boys. Brian and Jennifer had girls, but then Rory was there. Shula had a boy. Kenta managed to have only a girl, but she's in New Zealand. Elizabeth had one of each, but Freddie was born first with all the primogenitor issues. David, more boys than girls. And yet we're going to have one of each, which I think is a little bit dull. What I would really have liked was for them to have twin girls and no more children at all, really, so that we don't have this thing about, you know, boys inheriting and girls not, and all of that. I'm not quite sure what point I've made there, except why is it always a boy, at least one boy? The other question I have is, has anyone seen Panto Martin and Anon of Ambridge in the same room? It's just a thought. Anyway, that's me. I don't think I've got anything else to say. I will go back to hearing the builders making a lot of noise, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye.
Thank you, Dusty Substances. What do you reckon, Jacqueline?
Yeah, I can see one of each. It had to be one of each, but
why?
Because just don't know, because it's irritating, isn't it?
But we've already got two pairs of twins in the village, and they're always one of each. Kent and Shula, then we've
Lily
got
Lily and Freddie.
Yeah, down there in Lower Loxley. It's just, you know, come on.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand why they've done it, actually, because you'd think that have gone for two boys or two girls rather than the mixed bunch, but hey-ho.
But I know there was some level of chatter about this on the socials. But statistically speaking, what are the chances in a village of, I don't know what the population is of Ambridge, in a small village, what's the statistical probability of having three sets of twins who are, wait a minute, but they're all related, but are they related to the females?
Maybe there's... I can never remember what it is about twins, whether it's three through the female side.
No, it's through the female side.
Right. Well, we might be wrong about this.
Wait a minute. No, it wouldn't work if they're all through the female side, because Kenton and Shula are not related through the paternal side to the others.
Yeah, to Tony.
To Tony, exactly.
Tony. Yeah.
So the paternal.
Yeah. So, of course, David's mother had twins, and David's sister had twins. So that's the Brookfield side of it. So there's some relationship there.
Through female inheritance. But anyway, whatevs.
I think it's a very high proportion for a small village. I mean, we're 300 and something, 79 here, and we don't have one set of twins. So not one in the last three generations. So, you know, I don't know with it. But then maybe, as a 9-year-old boy said to me when I announced that I was having a baby, and he looked at his mum and said, "That means Jacqueline's had sex three times because it's her third baby." With disgust. In truth, it was a small child that I was tutoring, and his mum came to pick him up, and she said, "Oh, you're looking very pale." I said, "I'm actually being very, very sick. I'm feeling morning sicknessy." And she said, and he said, "I said, oh, I'm going to have another baby, Alexander." And he went, "Oh, Mum, Jacqueline's had sex three times." There you go. So maybe nobody has sex in Sanguin, but they do in Ambridge. Twice in one night. It's the only way. Like cats. Well, right, move on.
Wow, you've only had sex three times ever. Wow.
Funny enough, because I've now got four children.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, last caller in a row, it's Ab with a Spoon.
Lovely.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings from upstate New York, Roy Field, Jacqueline, and all Dumpty Dumbers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here, wishing everyone a happy Pride. Trigger warning. There will be three movie references in this caller-in. It's been a tough 24 hours since the announcement of the Supreme Court's no-surprise decision regarding abortion rights. I was reminded of times past, such as when Vera Drake was offering cups of tea to her patients, which leads to Chris offering Alice a cup of tea on Friday during their surprise rapprochement. Last Monday, I was still yelling at Chris. He showed up early to pick up Martha to bring her over to his sister to babysit, when he easily could have asked Alice if she wanted to keep Martha for the evening, because that's what mature exes do who share custody. Seemingly, Chris had also not heeded Usha's good advice to have an actual conversation with Alice about custody. But that's what happens when formerly loving couples go to war with each other. Thinking of Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner in War of the Roses, they fought over a house. But sometimes it felt like Chris especially was viewing Martha as property. Then Martha takes a tumble, and I'm reminded of 1979's Kramer versus Kramer, with a young Meryl Streep and Dustin Hoffman, when the son of this estranged couple falls off the jungle gym in the park. Actually, I think the scriptwriters borrowed liberally from that film. A difficult courtroom battle over custody did unfortunately engulf the Kramers. Luckily for us, the listeners of The Archers, and for Martha, Chris and Alice shared their cup of tea, managed a 180-degree turn, and worked out a custody agreement, and there appeared optimism in their working out a division of financial assets. So let's see if Brian and Neil can come to a peaceful place now that their kids have. Talk to you soon.
Quality as always. Quality as always.
Absolutely. I didn't get the three film references. I got the War of the Roses and Kramer versus Kramer. Who's Vera Drake?
So Vera Drake was a film in the early noughts with Imelda Staunton.
Oh, there you are. I was living on a boat then, didn't have any films, so there you go. That's why I've got a gap in my history.
Fair enough. But I think it's a really astute observation to look at the parallels between Kramer versus Kramer, which is the first time I can remember going to the cinema, actually, with mum and dad to see that. And I remember one of the recurring motifs throughout the film to show how the Dustin Hoffman character is getting better at being able to look after his son when he has him, is his son wants eggy bread. And Dustin Hoffman doesn't know how to make it at all at the start. The kids are sort of, what is this? Then by the end, he just can just do it literally in his sleep. And it's like this choreographed thing when he's making this kind of eggy bread. And I just remember my mum crying her eyes out and my dad laughing. And just cinema was just full of women crying. It's a wonderful film. Wonderful film.
Absolutely. And I agree with Witherspoon completely that I think a lot of that whole scene came straight out of Kramer versus Kramer, yeah. That whole thing on Monday's episode. Kramer versus Kramer is definitely a tearful, cryy film for me as well. Mm. I'm with Mrs. Brown.
and the other women in the talkie cinema were all crying their eyes out as well. Now we go from our caller inners to our emailer inners.
Have you had any emails this week, Wyfield?
Technically, no, but I'm going to say yes. We actually got one on WhatsApp. A caller inner or a messenger inner remembered the number, the WhatsApp number, and sent us a message. And this is the message. Hi, Dum-de-dum. Occasional caller inner here. In answer to the question on the latest episode, one of the monologues was set in Hungary, and that's from Matthew Horsepool. Yes, I had completely forgotten about that. So the Archers has been to Hungary.
Oh, well done, Matthew, for reminding us of that, because as you can probably tell by now, we're not very, very good on facts, are we, Royfield?
Just speak for yourself. No, right, we're not. You can definitely speak for the pair of us in that regard. And also thank you to Cosmo and others on the Twitters that also put us straight and also reminded us another instance where Brian and Jenny went along with Caroline.
Oliver.
And Oliver, thank you. And they also went to Hungary as well. So we have had action outside of Borsetshire all the way in Budapest.
Indeed.
All right, so that was our one electronic message. So, but don't forget, if you don't like the sound of your own voice, quite simply go on to dumdum.com, hit contact us, you can send us an email that way. Why don't we now go and see what our Facebook group has been talking about? It's time for Are Sue, Queen or Tart? It's a social media roundup.
Hello, lovely people. Sue here, Queen or Tart on the Twitters and for the socials for this week. So let's start off with Chris and Alice. Starting with Sheila English. Alice is going to say equally complimentary things about Chris, isn't she? Then the social worker will bang their heads together and everyone will live happily ever after. She, Bonnie McLean and I are obviously all in the same camp. Bonnie says the reconciliation is obviously in the works after Chris puts on the weeps. Whereas Andrea Turnbull said, pass me a bucket, I feel sick. Natasha Cern chipped in with, congratulations to Usha, the most grown-up person in Ambridge. My word, what depths we have sunk to. Witherspoon said, well, it seemed like Usha's advice went in one ear of Chris, through his empty head and straight out the other. He is a clot. So it could all end in tears, or reconciliation, or something. Beginning to not care. Bailey Whelan said, tonight's episode is to remind me of Bertolt Brecht's Caucasian Chalk Circle. Very cultured and well put. I have fond memories of doing the lighting for Caucasian Chalk Circle, and it didn't end well. At a complete tangent, Phil Ratcliffe asked about secateurs. To gather sweet peas, that's a tad heavy-handed, isn't it? Andrew Helis recommends a chainsaw. And Rob Williams says, only if you don't have any gelignite. Catherine Chevalier said, I thought that. Kitchen scissors. Nail scissors would probably do the job. Anyway, you pick your tool, don't you? Carolyn writes, Saturday in Ambridge this week is fantastic. Rosie, Martha and Xander appear to be wandering in a nefarious route into gang warfare and extortion. I love these on a Saturday. If you haven't read it, take a look in the Facebook group. Darcy Jorgensen inquired, so will they or won't they? Hazel Morris said, I hope they will. We listeners need a break. I haven't got over Nigel yet. Not sure who you're talking about. Really? Lizzie and what's his face? Mince? Sarah Spilsbury said, which they? Kirsty and Adam. Why not? After all, he's a mover and a shaker. Chris and Alice? Oh, please no. Friday's episode, near sick making. Sweet. Linda and Adam? Ultimately, I think yes. Adam will know the ultimate owner of Grey Gables, who will be a well-known business person or some other famous celeb. And whilst Linda will be initially characteristically sniffy about them, and Adil being the link, of course, and possibly thinking they may be a lowbrow choice, the event will go really well and she'll reluctantly admit a grudging respect for his helping the fate go on. We'll see. Ray Milner said, I do hope not. My distrust of Adil is clear, but for argument's sake, let us assume I'm wrong and he's on the level. Here's still a slick smoothie, used to high income level, modern comforts and high expectation. Not Kirsty's style at all. And Margaret Clute said, true. And look what happened. And Margaret Clute said, well, Phil wasn't her style either. And Ray said, true, and look what happened. And why is it deemed compulsory to marry her off anyway? I say, leave our Kirsty alone. I'm certain Royfield will mention voting for the Dumpty Dum. I'm certain Royfield will mention voting for Dumpty Dum in the Brit Pod Awards Listener's Choice Award. The link you need is in the Facebook group for it. And there is also a link to a lovely article our Stephen Bowden found with lots of soap actors who have been in forever giving their two pennyworth. Our docudrama was represented by Brian Aldridge, Charles Collingsworth. It's a delightful read. So come on over to the Facebook page and join us. Whether you've been listening for a week or 40 years, you'll be very welcome. I hope you all have a lovely week and stay safe and well.
Thank you for that, Sue. As always, insightful and detailed and thought-provoking. Those are goings on our Facebook group. And you know what? We've asked you for reviews and none of you good people out there, I was going to use another word, none of you good people out there have just seen fit, shall we say, to write a review. But I know they're all going to flood in next week. Or else. Now, one thing you can do for us, though, in lieu of writing a review, which we can then read out, is vote for us on the Brit Pod Awards Listener Choice Award. Crumbs, that's a mouthful. Mm. So it's the Brit Pod Awards, and it's the Listener's Choice Award. Now it makes sense. So to vote for us, please go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote. So it's britishpodcastawards.com/vote. Go and vote for your favourite podcast. And if that's us, we'd be most pleased. Now, we'd like to welcome new Facebook members this week. We do this every week. So this week we had
Andrea Turnbull,
Catherine Humphreys,
Steve Clark,
Kate Spicer,
Jerry McElroy,
and Linda Pants, with a double T on the pants. Awesome name, Linda.
We're also on Twitter under @dumtdum. Our team always includes the Archers hashtag using a capital T and A so the visually impaired can enjoy any Archers-based tweets. Also, that hashtag is your gateway to the hugely enjoyable tweet along. Also, try and include @dumtdum in your tweet so more people get to see it, which helps keep our community growing.
As well as @dumtdum, Jacqueline is on Twitter. Where can you be found on the said Twitters?
I'm @jberto_stgun, S-T-G-U-N.
Smashing. So if we're talking about Twitter, it must be time for Tweet of the Week.
Hello, Royfield, Jacqueline and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Purple Pumpkin here with a selection of Tweets of the Week. With thanks to our own 13-minute man, Quentin Rayner, and Archers fan 2015 Bernadette Hawkes for their plugs of notable tweets. My nomination for must-see Twitter feed this week goes to the Ambridge Plot Bot, which combines scenarios, places and characters with phrases to generate random tweets. @AmbridgeBot. This week it came up with Annabelle inexplicably drops in on Phoebe at Les Soeurs Hereuses. Next to my medal winners. In bronze position, it's Little Kim @LittleKim. LIDLKIM. I can suggest a walk for Ardil. Walk to Brookfield, find the slurry pit, throw yourself in. In silver, it's old friend Ian Kernow @Kernow27. About Chris and Alice. Are these two allowed an oops, what have we done sympathy bunk up when Martha is asleep, obviously? And in gold, in response to a question from Ambridge Pony Club about the noises off when Linda was meeting Kirsty and were they in a cow barn, Ballon's Catman @SuchSis said, a cattle barn with a coffee machine is necessary just in case one of the cattle needs a cappuccino. Boom, boom. That's it for my Tweets of the Week. See you all at the next tweet along.
How do people do it every time?
Thank you for that, Purple Pumpkin, and thank you for everybody who gave her assistance in spotting great tweets. Don't forget, we're also on Instagram. I believe that's the young people quite like Instagram, you know, the young people who we want to help us out doing the podcast.
Well, I like Instagram as well, so there you are, I'm down with the young ones.
Are you allowed to be like on Instagram?
I am allowed to be on Instagram. I stalk my children.
I thought there's a cut-off age.
Oh, you cheeky devil. Well, if there is, and there probably is, I haven't been found out yet. I must sound younger than I am.
On Instagram, we are at DumDeeDum, so follow us there.
And thanks as ever to all our contributors and to our social media supremos, Shambridge for her voices, and to our podcasting godmother, Lucy V. Freeman, and also to Philippa and Quinton. And sorry to hear that Philippa's gone down with the dreaded COVID, and we wish you well.
We absolutely do. There you go, folks. That's been your Dumpty Dum this week. I don't know where you'll be in 7 days' time, but I'll be doing Dumpty Dum. Where will you be in 7 days' time?
Me?
Jacqueline, yeah.
I'll be sitting on the same chair, same books. You change environment every week. So I've got the same books, the same chair, the same everything here. Let's hope the internet connect is slightly better this week. But we have thunderstorms here, and that always makes it a bit dodgy.
Guess what? For the first time ever, a Dumpty Dum will be recorded from Austria next week. Just
oh,
saying.
How just wonderful. Saying.
Going to Vienna for the first time. Never been before.
Well, it's very Eastern European. You'd be surprised how Eastern European it feels.
Ah.
I just hope your internet connection's good.
Well, let's hope that it's up to snuff in the hotel. Right, that's it. I'm signing off because I've got a Dumpty Dum to edit. Jacqueline Berto,
indeed.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, Monsieur Brown.